Roman Oban, Sean O'Hara, and Amani Toomer. And guys, listen, they got beat by Cam Newton today. They could have been beaten by Wayne Newton today. That's how bad they look. But it, to me, it started early with the offensive line just having a complete breakdown.
Yeah, and even coming into this week, Russ, this Carolina team, guys, 30th in league in passing. They only had a front seven defensively, and they had D'Angelo Williams at running back, and you just would have assumed that this is something the Giants were going to respond to well after being 0-2 and having their mistakes the first 2 weeks, and they didn't get it done. There's a lot of things we could talk about, but in a game where you're supposed to win, the better team, you're supposed to beat the better team, it didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, both these teams are supposed to be fighting for their first win, Roman, and those are great points. And we heard the Giants talk all week about how they were going to come out, show a sense of urgency and a sense of purpose, and to them, we just didn't see it. The offense struggled from the get-go. They put the defense in bad positions. And this team, to me, the Carolina Panthers were more physical than the New York Giants from the get-go.
They were physical on both sides of the ball, but when it really showed me, the evidence that showed me that the Giants weren't as physical as Carolina Panthers was that first touchdown that the Carolina Panthers had. Fourth down on the goal line, and they decided to go for it, and then they go get Tolbert with the touchdown. That, to me, just tells me that they didn't know that Carolina was going to be as physical as they were today.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I think it was three sacks within the first, Eli was sacked three times within the first 6 minutes and 15 seconds of the game, and, you know, that's losing football right there. All right, what do you say we go right back to Carolina, because the man standing on the sideline watching it all up close and personal was our colleague, Howard Cross. Howard, let me ask you, how bad did it look down there? Is it a question of either the effort wasn't there, or maybe they're just not good enough? That's how bad it looked from at least up front on the offensive line.
Well, guys, when you watch the offensive line and they're rushing four rushers and they're getting to the quarterback over and over again, six sacks in the first half, that's how bad it is. I'm not sure if it's technique. I'm not sure if it's scheme. I'm not sure what it is, or if guys just can't get it done. Remember, every year guys get older, and right now it looks like the Giants' offensive line has gotten a little old.
Well, Howard, with that age comes some form of leadership. I mean, your David Ball, Snee. I mean, what was the feeling on the sideline after that first series when Eli Manning got sacked, I believe, three times? I mean, were guys rallying together on the sideline to say, we're not going to let this happen again? Or was it just an expectation that things would get better as the game progressed?
Very interesting to see, like, on the sideline, the personality of this Giants offensive line. There's not a lot of screaming and yelling, slapping of hands. You know, I saw Keem Nicks go over, hey, guys, we can do this and stick together. I even saw David Wilson go over and urge the guys on, but not really an offensive lineman standing up saying, let's go.
Howard, what did you see from the defensive side of the ball, their body language on the sidelines? Did any of those defensive guys come over to the offensive side of the ball? Because I know if I was on that bench, I would for surely be expecting the defensive guys to come over and say, hey, guys, pick it up. Like, you know, you guys need to help us out and stop putting us in these short fields in these positions.
Again, I'm sorry, but it's a strange team. Everybody kind of stays to themselves. The defense stayed on their end of the sideline. The offense stayed on their end of the sideline. Nobody was really commingling, screaming, yelling. You have to wonder what happens at halftime. Was there players up saying we can't take this anymore, or was it just a coach talking? If it's just a coach talking, then it's a tough moment.
Yeah, I was waiting for the bounce back. Usually when you get down 10, 15, 20, 27 points, there's some sort of bounce back that comes back. And do you see the sideline galvanized together or anything like that?
No, nobody's slapping everybody. It's just everybody's trying to figure out what's going wrong. And when you're getting beat up front by four guys and you're five guys blocking, six counting the back, I'm not really sure what you can do.
Howard, as always, thanks very much. It doesn't get easier. They go in, the 0-3 Giants go into Kansas City next week to play the 3-0 Chiefs. You'll be on the sideline for us. We'll talk to you then.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, Howard. I'll tell you what, guys. What it sounds like, where has the leadership been? And I'll tell you what really shocked me today. I thought the Giants were going to win and win big today because of what happened with the coaches, tragic passing of the coach's brother, John Coughlin, this past week. The coach didn't play off that, but you would think the players would respond in kind. There was not, I mean, the tank was completely empty.
Yeah, this loss is completely on the players. And Tom Coughlin has preached ball security his entire career. And as you said, Ross, this week, They did not need that extra motivation. But if in case you needed something extra, it was there right there for them, and they did not respond. They did not answer the bell.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin always talks about, you know, winning the line of, the battle at the line of scrimmage on offense and defense. They didn't do that on either today. Six sacks, and I don't remember if the Giants, I think the Giants had maybe one sack on defense. So it's
one.
They don't seem to be where this Giant team is really built to be dominant, which is the front, for both front offensive line and defensive line. They haven't really shown up this whole entire season.
Yeah, Tom, you go back to Coach Coughlin. I mean, Russ, I think you said this at halftime. If Tom Coughlin was the loudest guy in the locker room at halftime, then that's a problem. And where was the leadership? Where was Justin Tuck? I mean, you see, you know, NFL films, you know, shows all these sideline hits and these the sound. Somebody's yelling at everyone. Someone's getting upset and getting angry. I mean, you just don't see it. There's just always this expectation that the next series will be better, and the next, you know, it's 38-0 in the fourth quarter, and it just didn't happen.
Coach is coach, but players play, and they certainly didn't play today, losing by a score of 38-0. We'll hear from the head coach, Tom Coughlin, coming up. Stay right with us. You're watching Giants Postgame Live here on MyNine. All right, Russ Salzberg back with you here, Giants Postgame Live. Let's go right to head coach Tom Coughlin.
We never gave ourselves competitively a chance to be in the game. Defensively, I thought we battled hard. The 17th point and the two touchdowns right away in the third quarter kind of turned the tide from that argument also. But offensively, had we given them something to fight for, some balance. I mean, even when we had the turnover and had the ball in the end zone, that was called back by penalty. I don't know whether that would have given us a spark, but it certainly was better than where we were. And also, we missed a field goal that might have given us at least an opportunity to look at the game from a competitive standpoint and see it in a little bit better eyes. We just didn't play well offensively. We didn't give ourselves anything to. To build on. We did have a couple of runs, and then late in the game in the second half, David had a couple of runs, and he showed that you know, despite the score of the game or whatever, he was still battling, and I was pleased to see that. But we never really gave ourselves a chance to try to go after their chopped up secondary because they did an outstanding job up front. And majority of the time, you're talking about a four-man rush, not anything other than that. And I think we had seven sacks. We hit the quarter. I'll bet the quarterback got hit 20 times tonight. So we didn't do a good job of protecting and giving ourselves a chance to be in a position where we could take advantage of some of the weaknesses that they supposedly had. And we stayed away from for a good length of time any type of a turnover. They got us once in the second half on a trap on Eli, and then late in the game, we're just trying to push the ball down the field and make something happen, and Curtis threw the interception late there. So, both kickers did a good job of eliminating the kickoff return game from the opponent. We did directionally punt better today, although I don't think our distance was what I would have liked, but we did get one turnover off of that, which I thought gave us good field position, which I was expecting to do more with the ball. But overall, disappointing is not a strong enough word. I expected more. We built towards more, and it just was not the competitive game that I thought it would be. Anybody have a question?
Talk about the pressure. You've already mentioned it, that the Panther defense applied. Were they doing anything? Was it just a poor job by the offense?
One-on-one. A lot of one-on-one stuff. You know, they were beating us up front. They were winning the one-on-one battles They did a nice job of just rushing the passer, playing the run on the way to the quarterback. They did a nice job with that. But, you know, even right away in the game, we had a couple of opportunities. One, we got beat on a running play. Then we had a chance, we thought, to get the ball outside, and we got tripped up. One of the pullers got tripped up. So, you know, that went from that kind of a situation to worse in terms of getting beat one-on-one.
Tom, I think there's only three teams since 1990 that have started 0-3 and made the playoffs. How do you keep the season focused and truly?
Well, we reload, and we're going to fight every step of the way. We're going to give it everything we've got, you know, and we're going to battle, and we're going to try as hard as we can to be competitive and to turn this thing around. Difficult to see a lot of progress on a day like today, but you know, we're going to certainly do everything in our power to put ourselves back into a competitive opportunity. You know, we've said that the first couple of games, you know, we turned the ball over, although we didn't win the physical battle against Denver either. But today we certainly didn't. Now, I'd have to look hard at our, you know, we held the run in check for quite a bit of today. They hurt us on a couple of option plays and quarterback keepers, and the quarterback runs really hurt us. And then late in the game, the running game opened up once the game was clearly one-sided. So I'll have to look hard at that one. But clearly, offensively, we physically were, you know, we lost the physical battle there.
Make any changes in the offensive line?
Oh, I don't know. I'll look at the tape and see what the tape tells us. But we are what we are. You know, we have the people that have made this team, you know, they've had an opportunity, except for the young guy at right tackle, to play in that position for quite some time, and we expect more.
Did Logan Lele, did he occupy guys in such a way that it allowed others to come free?
He was basically one-on-one. I mean, sometimes we would, depending on the situation, be able to combo block a little bit, but I didn't. You know, Hardy was very tough to block, and Johnson was tough to block off the edge. Those guys were. There's what made the quarterback's life miserable, because really, even when he stepped up, there wasn't a lot of room for him to step up.
Tom, you made a point of saying in the first 2 weeks that you never questioned the effort of his team, that was always there to fight to the end. Do you have any questions about the effort?
Well, you know, it's a different story when you're getting your butt kicked. I mean, I think the effort was there. Of course, there's no result to show for, so I wouldn't accuse him of not that. I know the effort was there on the other side of the ball. The defense gave good effort. Special teams gave good effort. The offense was giving the effort. We're just getting manhandled, quite frankly. Okay?
This is new territory for you, this team, for a lot of guys.
It is. It is.
How do you keep them?
Well, you're trying to get me to say whatever it is I can say, and the only thing I can tell you is it is a competitive game. They're competitive people by nature. I am. We're going to look at the next opponent and do everything in our power to try to figure out a way to beat them. And I expect everybody in that room to fight with the same deal of passion that we have, that I have. And I'll be looking hard for those who are not.
Captain, locker room's open.
All right, that was an obviously disappointed and disheartened head coach Tom Coughlin. This has certainly been a rough week for him. First, he loses his brother. This performance, now he's got to head to upstate New York for his brother's funeral, which takes place on Tuesday. That said, I thought Coach Coughlin said something that was very telling, Imani. The game plan was to go after their weak in secondary, but the offensive line never allowed them to do that.
Yeah, Carolina Panthers, they knew that their secondary was weak, and this is what a team that understands its situation. They know they have a weakness in their secondary, so their defensive line steps up. That's not what happened with the Giants today. The Giants offensive line needed to step up and allow the guys on the outside to really do some work on this young and inexperienced secondary, and it didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, the strength of their offense is their pass game. And coming into this game, the Carolina Panthers only had 3 sacks in 2 games. And then now to have 7 sacks in 1 game, I mean, it's absolutely on the offensive line. And Coach Coughlin said it. There was a lot of one-on-one matchups, and they just were getting beat. I mean, we saw the running back was going over. He was trying to help Chip Will Beatty, and Beatty was getting beat inside. So I don't understand how you can let that happen when you know that you're going to throw the football and you know you've got great opportunities in the pass game.
I think, guys, the irony of this game, this time last year, the Giants, after winning their first game against Tampa, 4 days later, on a Thursday night, beat the Carolina Panthers with Ramsey's Barton and Andre Brown. And the talks were, oh, this team is so deep that you can go beat a team on the road 4 days later with Andre Brown and Ramsey's Barton. I mean, they weren't here today, and these were starters. These were guys that you didn't have in last year's game. And, you know, go back to one thing that Coach Coughlin said. He said, we got manhandled. You don't hear a lot of head coaches saying, we just got manhandled. So, Russ,
it's all about pride.
You know, pride is the least of the concerns, but it's one of the major things. Pride is definitely an execution.
Well, and the other question is, flat out, are they good enough? Because the coach says the effort was there. If the effort was there and the result was a 38-0 beating, something as former head coach Dan Reeves used to say, something is bad wrong. All right, 38-0 is big-time bad wrong, and the Giants were on the wrong end of that score today. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Quarterback Eli Manning coming up. Stay right where you are.
This was certainly a very, very difficult loss to take. Have you ever been part of such a one-sided defeat in your career, even going back to high school?
I can't remember. I mean, this is a tough one to swallow, but this is the NFL, and you can't dwell. You can't dwell on the loss or the win. We just have to get back to work on Monday.
At what point did you sense this one getting away? Was it that 13-play drive they had when they scored right before the half?
Never really thought it was out of hand until the fourth quarter. I thought we were still in it.
And at what point do you try to turn the page and bounce back? Do you just want to forget about this one right away, or do you remember it for a few days?
We just have to learn from it, and then we really do have to forget about it. It's early in the season, and we have a lot of football to be played.
Prince Mukamar, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Spencer, how do you swallow such a horrible defeat like this one?
You don't swallow it. You can't. I mean, the feeling that we have today, we feel like we let New York down, New Jersey down, and we're at the bottom right now, but we got to go up from here. Like, I can't remember the last time Giants started off 0-3, so right now something's got to change, and we just got to go back to the drawing board.
All right, I know you got to run. Thank you. Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you. Payson just said it pretty good. I mean, he doesn't remember what they let everybody down, but right now we're going to go right to the quarterback, Eli Manning, at the podium, walking right up. Well, as they say, we're waiting for him, but I thought Payson just said it pretty good. I mean, really, the tank was empty. He was disappointed. He said he let New York, let New Jersey down. And I'll tell you what, we've been talking about the Super Bowl being played at MetLife. Well, there's the quarterback hoping to get there, but right now that's a long way, being 0-3.
Well, disappointed. Obviously, we didn't play well today at all, and just got beat in a lot of ways. Could never get anything going, and got to give credit to Carolina. They outplayed us.
How do you feel about the protection, and what do you feel like needs to be done?
Well, we knew they had a good defensive line, and they had guys who could get to the quarterback and get some pressure, and obviously they did a good job. And so we gotta find ways to slow down the pass rush with whether that's running the ball or screens or getting the ball out quicker. But they won the physical battle today.
What's the most frustrating component?
I think just being 0-3. Obviously we've dug ourselves in a little bit of a hole, but all we can worry about right now is looking at this film tomorrow, finding out where our mistakes are, where we need to make improvements, and how we're going to change things and get back to winning some football games.
How do you approach team meetings going into this week, and like go on the field stuff, and just how do you approach it after a loss like this?
I thing. You approach the meetings and the practice the same as you do every week. Just trying to get better, trying to improve, trying to understand the game plan, understand what the defense is doing, and how you have to execute your job to put your team in a situation to win games.
With all the inexperience they had in their secondary today, did y'all not get to take advantage of some of the things you were hoping you could because of the pass rush?
Yeah, and obviously they didn't put their secondary out there on an island much, and were able to get great pressure. We're just bringing four guys, and that's tough when you can drop seven guys and rush four and get pressure. It's gonna make it hard for any offense to have a successful passing game, and that's what they were able to accomplish that.
Do you feel the sense of urgency is right now for this team? Just one start.
Well, I think we had to have a great urgency to get better, and again, we just got to focus on this next week and going to Kansas City, another road game, and a team that's been playing good football and a good defense, and so we just got to worry about getting better, making improvements, and making sure everybody's doing everything they can to get themselves ready to prepare for this game.
It seemed like there were a handful of occasions, especially in the first half, where you guys would do something positive, like David Wilson kind of around there scoring that touchdown. By something. I mean, how
deflating
was that for you guys?
Yeah, our defense got us a big turnover. We hadn't done much offensively. They get us a turnover, get great field position, and then obviously you get the holding call that backs up 20 yards. The next play, you get a sack, and all of a sudden now you're going backwards. Kind of killed all the momentum that we had going for us, and so there's too many. It wasn't. I don't know if it was. I don't think it was mistakes. We didn't have just too many times we're going backwards instead of moving the ball forward.
As a leader of this team, do you feel like there's any additional steps that you need to take after this week to kind of unite the team and kind of get out of the hole?
I don't think it's not that words aren't gonna fix anything. It's about us having great practices and coming out there and playing better on game day.
All right. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks a lot.
Unfortunately, you can have all the great practices you want, though. We've heard that many times before. Then you say, what happened after a bad loss on Sunday, as we're asking today? But really, where does Eli go? In particular, right now, obviously, the biggest problem has to be the offensive line, and he's the offensive leader.
Well, I think from an offensive line, offensive leadership standpoint, Sean, you and I played together early in your career. We were with the Browns. I mean, we accepted that we were on a bad team, and we had to try to do something good. The running game, something, a special team. You have to focus on what we did well, and then that hopefully eventually grew. You looked at a Carolina team today, Russ, and you alluded to this. Defensive secondary was decimated. D-line had to get it done. Four guys really control that game going against five, sometimes six. So whatever the Giants think they can do well, they really have to focus on that now, going into a hostile environment in Kansas City with Andy Reid playing lights out right now and try to salvage something.
Roman, this game, it's a game of confidence. And right now, the New York Giants have zero confidence in their offensive line. They have zero confidence in their run game. And now, Eli Manning, he's not even confident that they can keep him upright so that he could throw the football to the receivers, which was the best part of this offense. So I think this offense, we talked a lot about leading into this game, about what is their identity. They're still struggling for that. But right now, they're struggling for confidence, because even when they started the game out with two run plays, they run for 2 yards and then negative 2 yards. And they took points off the board, and you cannot do that when you're not a very confident team. You have a touchdown, David Wilson, goes in for the score. You're excited. You've got him on your fantasy team. and then the laundry comes out, and now they pull it out, and then you miss the field goal. So that right there would have tied the game, because they were only down 7 points. But they're not a confident offense, and they're not a confident team. They can't bounce back from that, Joel.
Yeah, I think Kevin Gilbride could have done some things to help the confidence of that offensive line. What you do when you have trouble protecting is you a lot of screens, a lot of draws, maybe move the pocket so that it's not a target for the defensive line to just go directly to. They have to find them to get them off the spot. So I think that's something that they should have done during the game. Once they had the back-to-back sacks in the first quarter and then the third sack in the beginning of the next series, they probably should have started to change their approach a little bit.
Maybe a little no huddle. We were talking about that.
Something
get because the tempo going.
Because to keep doing the same thing over and over again, it just didn't work.
Well, again, they thought it was going to get better. Instead, it went from bad to worse. And speaking of David Wilson, we'll hear from David Wilson coming up in our next segment. Right now, we're going to take care of a little business and folks. Make sure you go to Adorama.com/Giants to win a Canon PowerShot G16 compact digital camera. Adorama, remember, they're the official electronics retailer of the Giants. You're watching Giants Post Game 9 here on My9.
Guys, and in talking to David Wilson here, the Giants running game continues to be an issue. I know it's something you don't want to hear about anymore, but as you try to fix this run game, what needs to be done, David?
I mean, I'm just out there running hard. That's my job. And, get the ball and read my blocks and make plays. So that's what I'm out there trying to do.
Now, you knew the Carolina front seven was good against the run to begin with. They were quick, but did they do anything you didn't expect? Was there anything in there that was surprising to you at all?
No, nothing surprising. We watched film on them, and we knew what they was capable of. And, you know, they was in the backfield. And, you know, at that point, you just got to put two hands on the ball. And if you make a play, you can make a play. But, you know, we stuck together the whole time and tried to pull something out of it. But, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Now, you remember it was a week or so ago, I guess, one of your defensive captains, Antrell Roll, talked about getting more emotion and more spark into this team. Do you believe that's missing? And if so, what has to happen to get that spark?
I mean, we just got to keep the unison and you know, continue to grow together and don't point any fingers because it's a team sport. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes out there. And that's when, you know, you got to be a leader or a teammate and help them up and, you know, keep them going. You know, we just got to stay positive and turn this thing around.
Speaking of staying positive, what did Coach Coughlin tell you guys in the locker room after this one? Was he more angry, upset, or is he just trying to keep your spirits up?
Just trying to keep our spirits up. You know, he's a good coach. He's been in the game for a long time, so he know what we need to hear. He know how to get his point across, and, you know, going back to practice this weekend and, you know, get ready for the Kansas City Chiefs.
David Wilson, thanks for your time.
All right, son.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Well, David Wilson was 11 rushes, 39 yards, as you brought up, Sean. He had a touchdown call back. He had a couple of good runs. At the beginning, he was being stopped. There were no holes there. The young man can play. You know he can play. I thought he made some strides today, but again, if the offensive line is going to continue, I mean, I guess we're throwing the offensive line under the bus, but quite frankly, after today, they deserve to be there, because if they're not going to function, nothing's going to be there.
Well, I mean, we knew coming into this game that they were struggling. I think we all thought they would respond, and that certainly wasn't the case. There's plenty of blame to go around for this team. The reality is that now they have to focus on the Kansas City Chiefs, like David Wilson said, and I think, you know, the good news is they took care of the football a little bit better this week. But I think when this team, I said it before about the confidence, and I think this team is lacking that confidence right now. They're lacking that veteran spark that we talked about, and that leadership for somebody to step up and say, enough is enough. You know, I can hear Tom Coughlin saying right now, when you're sick and tired of losing and playing sloppy football, somebody will step up and fight.
That's what Tom Coughlin always says. Are you guys tired of getting beat?
Yeah.
Are you guys tired of getting beat and looking bad? If you're not, just let me know when you are. And I remember he'd always say that when we would have performances like this. And this is what this team needs to really do. Last week I said they need to figure out what kind of team they want to be. And if this is any indicator of what this type of team they want to be, this is a very worrisome season for this year.
Let me ask you this. It's easy to blame a rookie, and I'm not putting the blame on Justin Pugh, but is the result of the way this offensive line is put together, or lack thereof, a result of that?
Well, I think when you look at the offensive line, there's five people that have to do their jobs at the same time. But at every single turn, if the left tackle gets the quarterback flushed out of the pocket, and then the guy who the right tackle is blocking gives up the sack, or if the center and two guards get picked and the quarterback steps up, then he gets sacked because the guys are on different levels, or if all five guys are doing their job and the tight end gets beaten, it's all the offensive line.
Yeah.
And if you can't break big runs because receivers may not be doing well at the point of attack and you're blocking the corners, then you won't see those 80-yard runs or 50-yard runs. So it's a little bit of everybody.
It's a team game.
But I remember last week on postgame, there was a player being interviewed by Paul DiTino, said, we need to man up. We need to practice more deliberately. We need to have a sense of urgency. And that was Josh Brown, right? Josh Brown said, said that last week. Yeah. And I don't have nothing against kickers. I mean, it's a part of the team.
Speaking of one, he missed a field goal today.
Yeah, John Brown said we need to man up and practice more deliberately. So the leadership, it has to come from the leadership within, because what's going to happen this week? Does Tom Coughlin, has he lost his message? He's been there 10 years.
Yeah.
No, it's the guys in the locker room that put on their helmet and shoulder pads, jock straps, girdles, whatever they wear underneath all the armor equipment, and go out there and play.
And it's got to go down to management. I mean, they invested in Beattie, and they invested in Pugh, and both of them gave up multiple sacks today. They have to get their guys that they want to, that they're putting out there as first-round draft picks and $35 million guys, they have to start playing like it.
And you can live with the right tackle, rookie right tackle, but
yeah,
when veterans, and we've all been young starters in our career, but when the veterans, the leaders, the guys with the commercials, the guys with the big contracts, when those guys aren't playing well, then that's going to spread to the young guys.
Well,
that's going to spread to guys on the team.
I'll tell you what, jocks and girdles, that's good. That should be bulletin board.
Well, Russ, speaking of garment, Tom Coughlin's the king of T-shirts, you know, and the one T-shirt that I used to always love that he gave out every year, talk is cheap, play the game.
Exactly.
That's
going to
be their message this week. I don't want to hear about it. I want to see it. Show me. Show me some football.
Right. Well, they got to be showing something, because at 0-3, time is running out real fast. All right, we've got Ryan Mundy coming up right after the break. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here for you on My9. Stay right where you are.
Thanks again, guys. And Ryan, it wasn't like Cam Newton was lighting things up there in the first half, but before you knew it, they had a 3-score lead, and that had to be difficult to swallow even going into the break.
Yeah, you know, this was a tough game for us. Coming into the game, felt like we had a solid game plan. We had identified the passing game and the running game. We knew what they were going to give us. It was just, I think, a failure executed on our part, but we have to go back and watch the film to see exactly what happened on those plays. But this right now, you know, we're very humbled, and we got to get back to work tomorrow and right the ship.
You know, this is the first time the Giants have been 0-3 since 1996. Those things don't happen to this franchise, to this organization. Do you guys collectively, as a team in that locker room, understand what kind of hole you've dug yourselves?
Oh, yeah. We know exactly what kind of hole we're in right now. And even before this game, you know, going 0-2, that's a hole, you know, and that's below our expectation. But, you know, we still got 13 games left. And we're down, but we're not out. You know, there's a lot of fighters on this team, and our leader, Coach Coughlin, he's going to be at the forefront pushing everybody and making sure that, you know, we right the ship.
You know, Ryan, to be fair, the 6 turnovers by the offense in Dallas was clearly a reason why you lost that game. Then last week, the Denver game, a lot of mistakes on both sides of the ball. If you had to put your finger on one thing this time that really kind of fell apart, what would it be?
That's tough for me right now. Like I say, I don't like to speak too fast, especially, you know, right after the game. I like to analyze the game, you know, look at the film, look at the numbers, and see exactly, you know, how they got where they got to those 38 points. Because, you know, before you know it, the scores just keep coming and coming and coming. But, you know, I like to analyze the film, look at the numbers, and then I give you a better answer.
Ryan Mundy, thank you for your time.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul. Well, Amani, Ryan Mundy might not want to analyze, but I think it's pretty clear to say it's what has been the hallmark of the Giants, the guys up front, has disappeared, at least after 3 games.
Yeah, they really have been inconsistent all year, and this really showed today when you get a really talented defensive line like the Carolina Panthers have, and they just didn't rise to the occasion. And it looked like there was 2 teams that were 0-2, and the Carolina Panthers were the team that were desperate, and the Giants didn't play with that desperation that they need to, and they haven't played, frankly, this whole season, going through the, you know, the first 3 games and into the preseason. They just feel like, oh, they're on cruise control, it kind of looks like, and we're going to see if this team ever kicks it into gear, because they're getting so far behind that they might not be able to, even when they do kick it into gear, might be in range, might be out of range to make a playoff spot.
Well, they better get their fire in their belly. It was real fast, because next week they are traveling to Kansas City to play the 3-0 Chiefs. All right, stay right with us. You're going to have Justin Tuck coming up in just a little bit. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Ross Salzberg back with you here on My Nine, along with my colleagues Roman Oben, Sean O'Hara, and Amani Toomer, while we are waiting on number 91, Justin Tuck, at the podium. Listen, they got to win next week. Because we're going to go right to Justin Tuck right now. Okay, we'll go to Justin Tuck as we speak.
I don't know. I'm looking for answers. I know one thing. We're not playing together. I think that's an obvious answer. I don't know.
Tom said after the game that he felt the defense, you know, had a pretty good first half. But then when those problems on offense mount, does it kind of spread to the other side of the ball because you're in tough positions?
I don't know if we had a good first half or not. We still gave up 17 points in the first half and weren't able to stop any of the bleeding in the second half. And I mean, you know, I've always been taught on defense, it doesn't really matter what the offense does. If you have, you know, yardage to stand by, you got to stand. And, you know, the years we've had success as a team is the years when the offense is not playing their best and defense picks them up and makes a play and kind of gets the momentum swung. When defense not playing their best, offense makes a play and kind of gets the momentum swung. You know, so we got to find a way to do that. You know, our offense is struggling right now. Defense is struggling right now. This team is struggling right now. We got to have somebody step up and create a spark and just find, I mean, you know, I want to sit up here and say we're better than an 0-3 team that we are, but, you know, the facts are the facts. We're 0-3 and, you know, we got a huge hill to climb.
That's not even a hill to climb at this juncture. It's a big hole to get out of. They are in dire straits right now. I mean, the season is not over, but they are in dire straits.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Justin Tuck obviously is one of the leaders. He's one of the leaders in his community. He's one of the leaders in the locker room. And one of the newer guys on the team, Colin Jenkins, I spoke to him earlier this week, and I just asked him, you know, what do you like about this community, this organization? You know, won a Super Bowl in Green Bay, was with the Eagles. And he said he loves the expectations. That every time you walk up down the hallway, you're seeing, you know, Lawrence Taylor, you're seeing all these Hall of Famers, the people that have come to this organization. And that means something. That makes you practice harder. It makes you give a little bit more effort because of the expectations. And I don't know, Sean, if those expectations are the same, or there's just an expectation that things will be better the next series, the next game, or there's a lot of football left. I mean, that's something that's got to be solved in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, we have high expectations for this group, and it's because they told us how good they were and how good they were going to be. But as much as we beat up on the offensive line earlier in the show, this defensive line, other than Mathias Kiwanuka, really did not show up today. They didn't show up last week. They didn't sack Peyton Manning one time. They only sacked Cam Newton one time in this game, and that was Kiwi's sack.
Right.
They got basically steamrolled in the run game in the second half. And Carolina, they did what they wanted. They handed the ball off to D'Angelo Williams. They were calling reverses. They were calling read options. Cam Newton was running all over the place. So there's plenty of blame to go around, and I think this defense, they need to find a way to get physical and stop the run as well, because the week before against the Denver Broncos, they came out in the second half, and the Broncos' first possession, they ran the ball 4 out of 5 times, marched down the field, scored. And the same thing happened to open the second half here with the Carolina Panthers. They went down. They scored on a touchdown pass. So this defense, they need to do a better job as well. Even though the offense has been anemic, they need to try and find a way to keep them in the game.
Yeah. And I said this before, early opening day, you know, there's 10 defensive linemen that they kept on this active roster. Take away the kicking, you know, the quarterbacks. That's 20% of the roster. So you expect a high level of production just out of the defensive line. Well, historically, this team, the last 5-10 years since Coughlin's been here, you expect a lot out of the defensive line.
You can talk about expectations all you want, but Sean, you said it best, Coach Coughlin's favorite line, talk is cheap, play the game, something that they haven't been doing.
Right.
Certainly they haven't been doing it very well after 3 games. All right, coming up, we'll have our final segment on Giants postgame live here on My Nine, where we'll take a look at the dismal view of the Giants in the NFC East standings, because they are at the bottom looking up. Don't go away, we're coming back. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine as we get ready to call it a day here. Giants unfortunately called it a day far too early. I said it before, you know, that song goes, nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina, but Carolina today was an absolute disaster. I said it at the top of the show, I'm shocked. Not because they lost, but how they lost, and also under the circumstances. And to Coach Coughlin's credit, Tom would never use his brother as a motivating factor. He tragically loses his brother last week by a freak accident. And I thought the players would want to give him something. And by giving him, okay, so maybe they lose the game. But to, I mean, flat on their faces, lying on their backs when it's over, this is one of the worst losses I've ever seen by a Giants team in my 25 years covering them.
Well, you talk about, you know, it's a tragedy, and usually tragedies tend to bring teams together. I mean, you remember 10 years ago or so, Brett Favre lost his dad and threw 4 touchdowns in a Monday night game. I mean, things like that have happened. Last year, this team, I mean, during Hurricane Sandy, that affected, you know, lots of people in this community. The Giants lost to a Steelers team that flew in game day, ran the ball up and down their throats, and won the game. It didn't even stay in the hotel the night before the game. So wherever the togetherness on this team that's going to allow them to overcome this three-game slump, which is what we have to call it, at the end of the season, you'd like to hopefully see this as a three-game slump versus starting off 0-3. Whether it's, you know, playoffs, we can't talk about any of those things, but we just have to try to salvage this season somewhat and do something positive next week against Kansas City.
Sean, let's take a look at the standings, because if there's any saving grace here, I don't want to know if you want to call it a saving grace, but
there's a silver lining.
Yeah, silver lining. Because,
deep down, I mean, it's
pretty
reaching.
Deep.
Get on the shovel.
You're talking about the Dallas Cowboys leading the pack at 2-1, followed by 1-2 Philly, Giants and Washington 0-3. This is the NFC East. You know, the rough, tough NFC East, which is not looking too tough right now.
I mean, I think, you know, we were talking about it during the break. I mean, I said 9-7 could win this division, and really 8-8 could win it, 7-9. I mean, thank goodness for the Washington Redskins at 0-3, so the Giants aren't alone in the basement. But this team just keeps finding ways to lose football games, you know, sloppy play with turnovers, and then they don't score in the red zone, and then now they can't protect the quarterback. So, you know, next week I'm really curious to see how this team responds. And when you look at those standings, guys, you know, the Giants, listen, they can still go down to Kansas City. They could even lose that game, because they come back and they don't play their first NFC East divisional game until the following week. And I'm not saying I want them to lose that game, but the games in this division are really what matter. The Giants can still find a way to claw themselves back into relativity in this division.
Yeah, but what they need to do right now is incrementally improve. They need to start playing better football. Baby steps. You can't worry about winning 3 games at once. Every game is only going to count for 1. So if they go into Kansas City and handle their business, and not even win, just start to play better. Just give us a little hope. 38-0 is not something that's going to galvanize the fan base. They need to find a way to just get play just a little bit better, because right now they're probably one of the worst teams in the league.
Well, I'm going to disagree on one thing. I think they have to go in and win, because, as you said, Sean, they're playing Kansas City, a 3-0 team. Should they lose that game, they're 0-4. Then they come home to face the Cowboys, who they've already lost to. Now, if they beat the Chiefs and then could beat the Cowboys, then they're right back, thick of things.
And this is going to be a tough week for them, because Andy Reid knows this team very well, having played against them for, you know, the last 14 years that he was in Philly. So let's put this game to rest, and I'll just end you with this. That was the worst loss in the Tom Coughlin-coached era for the New York football Giants.
Yeah, and, I mean, in addition to everything else that's been said, this team at certain places has to find a way to play well together, 11-on-11 for a series, 6 plays, 8 plays, a 12-play drive that leads into a touchdown. I mean, something like that has to happen. Historically, this team used to be good on the road, guys. Mm-hmm. Over the last 5 years, this team used to be really good on the road, was better on the road than at home, and hopefully that can start next week.
Yeah, they definitely need to turn the season around, because right now at 0-3 and getting beat the way they did by another team just as desperate as them, it just says either they're not good enough or there's no fire in this team. And I hope it's the fire situation, because they have, I think they have enough people in that locker room who've in the past put together good seasons and been really productive for the Giants. So it's just a matter of them going out there and doing it. Just like Sean says, you know, you just got to go out there and do it. Don't tell me about it. Just do it.
Well, I think 2 questions. Yes, they have to win. They have to show what they're made of, but we also have to find out, are they flat out good enough? Because right now, if we keep hearing the effort's there,
they've got to earn it.
That's
right.
Exactly
they've
right.
Earn it. 100%.
And they got to start earning it next week, because next Sunday, September 29th, Giants will play on the road for the third game in 4 weeks to start the season. They'll face the 3-0 Chiefs in Kansas City. Then, of course, you're going to want to flip right over immediately following the game. And as always, check us out here on Giants Post Game Live on My9. For Imani Toomer, Sean O'Hara, and Roman Oben, I am Russ Salzberg. Thanks once again for watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Be sure to tune us in next week. It'll be the Giants in Kansas City against the 3-0 Chiefs. That is one the Giants are going to have. Have a good week, everybody.